We continuing in the discussion of faith today, and I'm calling this completed faith and the promise. I'm going to read a statement about faith. This is not a comprehensive statement by any means. It's just relevant to what I want to emphasize today. And it says that faith is the supernatural activity of bringing to pass God's creative purpose. So faith is not simply a human wish or desire or a belief that something is going to happen. Sometimes people can talk about faith as faith that, you know, the bus will turn up at the bus stop the next day and all those sorts of things, which are illustrations of faith, and that's fine. But we're talking about completed faith, which is sharing with God's heart his creative purpose. And that's big. And that can only be done by the kind of faith that we are given by God, in one way or another. Some Old Testament heroes were given faith about God's purpose, and it was supernatural. But it wasn't completed in the sense that I want to share today. And I'm developing something that was in chapter 3 of the book called The Real Faith by Charles S. Price. I just want to develop one particular line of thought. So, with the purpose of God and with the supernatural activity of God's creative purpose, we have the Father purposes, we have Jesus speaks, and Holy Spirit acts. I'm just saying that from the creative work of creation, when God created the universe. And that was the purpose of the Father, not just to have a universe, but to have a place for his children to live. It wasn't a universe, well, what would we do with this thing? No, it was, we're going to create man, and to do that, we're going to have a beautiful, wonderful place for him to live. Male and female created he. So the Father purposes, then Jesus spoke. The Holy Spirit moved on the face of the deep. Jesus spoke and said, let there be light, and creation came. So that will be the act of faith in every situation of faith. Not just, well, I'm going to purpose something. I'm going to have faith for it. It is the Father purposes. Jesus will speak into our hearts one way or another through his written word. Or the Holy Spirit will take something of Jesus and speak that into our heart, and then it will be brought into action by our consent to that and response to that of our faith. His creative work, it's his purpose. We are privileged to be part of that, and we have our faithfulness, we believe and we trust God for that. Things come to pass. We call things that are not as though they were, as Abraham did. The key point that Paul wants to make in the concluding chapters, from Hebrews chapter 10 through to chapter 13, is the difference between Old Covenant faith a new covenant faith. Faith is a heart decision that releases God's power. The Bible says in Romans 10, with the heart man believes. The capacity of the faith heroes of chapter 11 to endure suffering and death instead of escape because they trusted in the eternal goodness of God, presupposes a relationship to the unseen world. That's the world that we live in the spirit, the world of the unseen. Faith is the evidence of things unseen, not seen. That world of faith. Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, and others. There was Sarah and Rahab. All occupied that world. They heard God speak to them in their hearts. The place of communication where we can hear from God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God. That's how faith comes. Amen. And as Ian preached a year or so ago or more, my sheep hear my voice. It's a relationship. You hear the voice if you're listening. I'm going to read a little out of that chapter, of Hebrews chapter 11. Just extracts, verse 6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he judged the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith, that harmony with God that comes by faith. Now that was waiting for him. He was an heir of that. And he could hold that in his heart. But the inheritance was not there yet for him to have fully complete, because that only came when Jesus came. But he knew in his heart that he was going to inherit something far greater from the world of the unseen. And he held that promise, if you like, in his heart. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. Why? Did he dream up an idea? I'd like to get out of here. Now, he got a word from God. Abraham, leave where you are and go. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that had foundations, whose designer and builder is God. That is not just an earthly place, that is the heavenly. By faith Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. That's our faith. We consider him faithful. But it's he that does it. So that's our faith. Old Testament people had to have their faith. We have to have our faith. But we have something other than just our faith. We have the faith of Jesus himself, the faith of God. They didn't. Therefore, from one man, and this is Sarah, and him as good as dead, then we talk about Abraham. She considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. The stars of heaven are those, I believe they're pointing to those of the new covenant that live in the heavenly realm. The Holy Spirit, I believe, is a symbol of the stars. The stars are a symbol of the Holy Spirit, multiplicity. And as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore, that speaks of the earthly, that is Israel. So Abraham had descendants that were earthly, and he has descendants that are heavenly, which are the heirs of faith. Then down a few verses, some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. That's faith. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. So we're talking about heroes here, people that had faith. And as I just said before, they heard God speak to them in their hearts, the place of communication where we can hear from God. And I have a scripture there, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. In other words, we can see so far, but we have to trust God for the completion of what happens. He put eternity in humanity's hearts. Every single person has in their heart a place where they can hear God. The man called Cyrus wasn't even one of the nation of Israel. God speaks. There's something in the hearts of every person. God can speak into every heart, and he does. In fact, the Holy Spirit is tugging at the hearts of every individual on the planet at this moment, trying to get them, to convince them of what is right, of how to be in harmony with God, convince them of sin and unbelief. That's his work, in the heart. Eternity. In their hearts. I want to just look at that word eternity. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. There's no Greek word for eternity. It comes from a Latin word, aeternum, which was devised hundreds of years after the Bible was written. The Greek word for eternity, Aeonia, is actually age to age. Well, that's the Greek word. The word used in the scripture that I'm reading here in the Hebrew is a word olam, O-L-A-M. And it means the vanishing point. It means that if you look at the horizon, if you're driving a car and you can see the road going out of the horizon, you can see as far as you can, but you can only see as far as the vanishing point, and then you can't see any further. That's an age. When you get to that point that you can see back there, you see another stretch. That is what eternity means, from age to age. You see so far and no further. That's why it says here in the same scripture, no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. We can see a stretch, and we can get faith for a stretch. But God has, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the complete. I used to think eternity was this word of just endless nothing. But the original language in both the Old Testament and the New Testament speaks about an age to an age. I'm looking forward to what it's going to be like after this age is over, the next age, and perhaps the next age, and perhaps the next age. Who knows what purposes God had? I don't know. I'll throw that out there just to confusion. Make you think. I just leave it there and say, God, show me a little bit more about that one day in your goodness. All right, so that's in the heart. But that is there so that God can speak to somebody in their heart and communicate and speak about a certain thing that has got a beginning and an end, but only to a certain degree for them. And they cannot see beyond that. That's okay. God's in charge of the lot. There is a place in every heart to hear the voice of God. That's a beautiful thing to know. Paul listed the testimonies of those who were the forebears of those in the Hebrew church. He's writing to the Hebrew church in this letter. He's encouraging them to be faithful to God through their own sufferings and to embrace the new and powerful kind of faith, the faith of God himself through Jesus. Old covenant faith was empowered by obedience to God's word. They couldn't have faith without the word. God would speak to the heart, just like God speaks to our heart. And they were obedient to that. And they saw wonderful things happen. New covenant faith is empowered by receiving God's faith and love. Still requires obedience. They obeyed the word they heard. So do we. But the empowerment of that word now with us is God, Jesus himself, with his purpose, his creative purpose, miracle-working power, that works by love. God always wanted people to love one another, but the new covenant act of faith is empowered by love, because that is God. God is love. So if you get a hateful kind of urge to have faith or something, just think again. Just think again. The new commandment. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, nothing is relevant other than faith that works by love. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. He's talking about different religion, the old covenant, the new covenant, the rituals, with the rituals, without the rituals. He said, nothing counts other than faith that works by love. You and I, as new covenant people who believe, we are consecrated by God. You've been made holy, consecrated, set apart by God to be part of his creative purpose in the earth. We're not here to observe some nice things and to struggle through, I made it, get to heaven. We've been consecrated to live by faith. What do we need faith for? Why not leave it out? Why not just do the best we can? Hope for the best, try and be good? No, he's given us faith. What for? To be part of his creative purpose in the earth, his creative purpose that works by love so that things change that are unchangeable. Let me read from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. These are the ones that had the testimony of faith, the Old Testament faith people. And although they all had received testimony from God through faith, They did not receive what had been promised. God had provided something better with us in mind, so that they should not reach perfection or completion except through us. Faith could not be completed. Even their faith that they would be heirs of being one with God wasn't going to be completed until there was this people of God that could share his life through Jesus Christ. They could not reach that completion except through us. And then the next verse, unfortunately, there's a chapter break. It would be unnecessary, really, if you were just writing this as one complete outline of thought and developing it, but there's a chapter break. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and what that means by witnesses is they bear witness to their faith. That's their testimony. A witness has to have a testimony, and that's why they're witnesses. Not so much that they're peering over the balustrade looking. They have become the witness of faith. I'm not saying that they're not looking. It's just that that's not what that scripture's trying to say. People think, the witnesses, they're witnessing everything. Well, that may be, but that's not what this scripture is saying. They have a testimony, therefore they are witnesses. When you go to sit in the trial and you have to go on the dock, you have to have a testimony of what you've got, and that be, therefore you are a true witness because you have a testimony. These people are true witnesses. Since we're surrounded by them, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily ensnare us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So does Jesus just get involved a little bit in our faith and encourage us and say, oh, look, I'm going to help you to believe, and if you can believe strongly enough, it'll happen? No, he takes over. He starts the faith. We start by getting the gift of faith from God to get saved in the first place by grace. And every act of faith is something that God initiates, stirs by the Holy Spirit in us. The word of faith then becomes the reality of what the purpose is for a distance. If you like, there's the vanishing point. You say, right, and then you get faith for something. There is a way to pray through things. Sometimes I've been given faith for a certain part of something to happen and no more. And then I have to wait. Well, thank you, Lord, you brought that. And then, oh, there's more. I remember a lady saying to me, this is going way back, I hadn't developed this thought as much back then, but she said, could you try and get my husband to come to church, become a Christian? I said, well, I don't know if I could get him to do that. But I said, we can pray. And I thought, no, I can't just say, well, Lord, I'm praying that Charlie will, I've forgotten his name, will come to church and be a Christian. I just don't get faith for that. But it came to me, it'd be nice to meet Charlie. So I said, let's pray that when we have a function, he'll come. That's all. Just pray for that. She said, I don't think he'll come to a function either. I said, well, I'm going to pray for that. And I pray, because I felt to say that. And I thought, Lord, I think that's you saying that. And he came to a function. When he came to the function, he had a lot of questions. Then he began to argue. Then he began to get interested. Then he came to church. Then he became a Christian. But I couldn't see the end from the beginning. I could just see, get Charlie to the barbecue, and I felt faith when he got there. When he got there, I was, well, here we go. And we're just saying, Lord, whatever you're doing, I can't see the end of this one, but I'm going to just do the best I can. You're at work. It was his faith. Things can be done in stages. And we don't just get Jesus helping us along. We get the thing that he tells us we can have faith for. And we can rest in that. Then let God speak again to take us further. We can devise the path. The Lord directs the steps. And it doesn't have to be impossible to try and think, well, how can I imagine this happening way up in the future? Just say, what have you given me faith for here now, Lord? And rest in that. And it could be to get a checkup. It could be something. Go and do it. I remember a fellow, I didn't mean to share all these things, but they just come to mind as I talk, that I worked with. And he was in such an agitated state, day after day, week after week. And I said, look, what's the matter? I was in ministry. I said, what's the matter? He said, oh, it's nothing. I said, you're feeling down. Are you a bit depressed or what is it? You seem irritated. He said, I'm scared. I said, what do you mean you're scared? He said, there's something in my back. And he said, I'm scared it could be cancer. And I said, you've been like this for weeks. I said, I'm glad I asked you. And he said, will you pray for me? I said, I certainly will. But I just felt from God tell him to go and get a check. I said, go and get a checkup. He said, I'm too scared. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to pray until you agree to go and get a check. He got a check, came back 3 days later, he said, and he was as happy as a lark. He says, no problem, everything's going to be okay. Now, I'm glad I didn't say, I'm praying for you to be healed and you're going to be healed, because he didn't even have to be healed. He just had it checked and be told how to get a better posture worked out and a bit of heat, and he was fine. But there is something you can pray for. You get a word to tell to somebody, and it could be God prompting you. Tell him to use some common sense and do that. Apply for that job or whatever it is. And you can be speaking and knowing that God's planted something there that is a living word, and then wait, see what the next stage will be. Faith can be very practical, but Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Remember, it's his purpose that we're tapping into. His purpose that we're tapping into. So, Paul was encouraging this church. To continue confidently in their new covenant faith. Many of them had become discouraged because of the trials they were going through. There was a crisis of faith in the life of the church community. They had already experienced adversity, humiliation, loss of property, and imprisonment. These were the church people. They were told not to cast away their confidence because it held great reward. And they were told to embrace the will of God and to receive the promise. Isn't that interesting? Hebrews chapter 10. This is going back before the faith people who died not receiving the promise. And these people here in the church were told, embrace the will of God and receive the promise. Hebrews chapter 10, 32 to 36. Some had stopped gathering together in fellowship. Some had given up on grace in neglecting the great salvation they'd been given through Jesus. They just neglected it. Life was too hard. Some had let attitudes of bitterness creep in. And Paul said, thereby many get defiled. Paul goes to great pains to explain the difference between the Old Testament promises and the New Testament promise. Summed up in the exchanged life of Jesus. There are promises, of course, but there was always waiting for God's people the promise of the Father that all of these Old Testament heroes could not receive. They knew it, they could read about it, but they weren't quite sure how it was going to unfold. Then when Jesus came, he says in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 4, wait. He was about to ascend into heaven. Wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And that's where our completed faith comes from. That's the promise of the Father. It couldn't come even when Jesus was on earth. It resided in him. But he had to die on the cross. He had to be resurrected. He had to come back. And then he spoke about the promise. Then he had to be ascended into heaven. And then the Father and Jesus had to send the Holy Spirit. And that was the promise, because that joined God to humanity. That's what happened. And Peter saw this happen. He experienced it. The Holy Spirit came like a rushing mighty wind. And there were tongues of fire, and they began to speak in tongues and to prophesy. And then people around the place began to prophesy. And they heard the good news, which was the promise. That's what the word is. The word promise actually is epilagia, which is actually the gospel, the good news. And the good news, the gospel is the life of God is coming to join with your life. And he said, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. And then he quotes it. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, not only here but far on into the future. So he was then articulating, this is what the promise was, the Holy Spirit coming and joining God to us, the promise of the Father. Now we have the promise. There's the Holy Spirit waiting to be received. When I say waiting to be received, he's there, but he's not being received, embraced, stirred, entreated, lived with. Each individual in the new covenant can receive his gift. It's God's gift of completed faith. Ask for the movement of the Holy Spirit within. He may not rush in like a mighty wind or even a gentle breeze, but if we wait and be still, we'll be touched and we'll be moved, just like on the day of creation. And so will things around us. Creatively, with a completed faith. I just want you to consider what we have just right now before I pray. I want you to not condemn yourself because you feel you don't have enough faith. It's so easy to do that. Not to say if only I'd have believed more. It's a matter of what you believe in. In whom you're believing. The Holy Spirit will make Jesus more and more known to us. The Holy Spirit will speak gently to a stilled heart. The Holy Spirit will override even our anxiety and timidity and fear. And that can be more like a mighty wind. And he can subdue something in you. Get your attention. Stop you from doing something that is negative or self-destructive. Thoughts about your own self that make you feel that you want to hide. Say, oh, I'm going to give up. This isn't working. Holy Spirit can override that. Touch your heart and say, come confidently to the throne of grace and get mercy. I'm not blaming you for being weak. I'm not blaming you for not feeling you've got strong faith. Just trust that I am speaking to you now and that is your faith and I am your faith. And I will bear witness with that and you will know a peace that you can rest in and leave for me to complete supernaturally while you do naturally that good thing in love that can now be done. Even in love to your own soul, instead of despising your own self, see yourself as beloved. That's an act of faith. It works by love. And then the Holy Spirit is saying, let my love begin to flow out. And as that begins to move, you will know the movement creatively in my purpose, which is my faith at work. You will share it. And you will be a witness to it. So thank you, Lord, for letting us have completed faith. But you do want us to ask for your Holy Spirit to focus on that, to stir that life that is waiting powerfully to take us into your purposes that we would not have imagined. And help us to endure, Lord, through the difficulties, confusing things that would seem like obstacles to faith, disappointments, regrets. Why didn't I do this? Lord, you're saying to us today, every moment is a brand new beginning. I live in the now moment. That is what eternity is. This age of faith can start right now at any given time to complete a certain horizon. And it is always available. It's not about what has not been done. It is now what can be done because you are trusting and receiving my life for that circumstance. In Jesus' name, amen.